You are listening to the Bull Academy podcast. This is episode number 7. Hello and welcome. My name is Elizabeth Van Delden, and once a week we talk to an industry expert from the wool industry supply chain, from farm to fashion and beyond, delivering strategies and insights to be successful in wool and showcasing those beautiful stories wool has to tell. Today's episode is supported by The Wool Room. The Wool Room is dedicated to delivering you a better night's sleep. At thewoolroom.com, you can choose from a wide range of mattresses, mattress protectors, bedding and beds filled with British wool, ensuring that you stay cool and comfortable at night. Find out how wool can improve your sleep by visiting thewoolroom.com and claim your 10% discount with the promo code WOOLACADEMY. That is the promo code WOOLACADEMY written all in one word. Today we welcome Joe Dawson, the CEO of H. Dawson, an international wool supplier, merchant and trading company. Joe is also the founder of The Wool Room and HD Wool. I personally met and worked with Joe almost 6 years ago when he was an active board member of the International Wool Textile Organization. Ever since I met Joe, I admired his passion, his energy and his vision for wool, and I'm very excited to have him on the show today. Joe, welcome and thank you for your time today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And I know you're very busy. So let's just get right started. And I want to maybe ask you to talk a little bit about your company, H. Dawson, and maybe explain it in more simple terms, because not all our listeners are very familiar with the wool industry. So just kind of tell us what H. Dawson does.
So H. Dawson is a wool trading company, wool sourcing company. We buy wool from around about 45 countries, sell to about 55 countries around the world. We buy wool from the farmer if we can, and we will then either sell it directly or we'll transform it into a wool which is scoured, washed, or made into combed wool tops. And we will then supply it to spinners, manufacturers, and who make it into carpets. They make it into mattresses, beds, bedding, clothing, tennis balls, any type of product that that uses wool.
Okay, and where's kind of the value that you bring for your customers? Like, how do you help them achieve the final products that they want to produce?
So our key point of difference is that we are very global in our aspect, and we will buy wool from anywhere around the world. And we provide the variety of wools from multiple origins. And we will manage the seasonality of the wool and also the volatility of the wool market and assist our customers. So our objective is to find good value wool that we can transform and that will then meet customers' price points at the same time as adding value to the farmer where we possibly can.
Okay, thank you. So if I were launching a new business and I need some wool, you could help me find the right wool for my product.
Absolutely. That's an area, it's an area which is really interesting for us, that there are many new entrants coming into the wool industry, which is delightful. And they are seeing this as an eco industry, and they want to use wool because of the inherent benefits of the wool product. But at the same time, they can see the potential to use the fiber and its characteristics in finished products that many people hadn't even thought of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we'll talk about that also a little bit more. But before we dive into those questions related more to wool, I also wanted to ask you, obviously, your family name is also the name of the H. Dawson company. And can you tell us a little bit more also about your personal background and how you started working for H. Dawson?
So how did I start? I went to university after school and studied international management and French. I enjoyed the language, and also it seemed fitting to work in an international management environment. And then after that time, I went to traveling around the world, So doing some backpacking and then interspersed with time in the various offices. So I spent quite a bit of time in our New Zealand operation and also in our Australian operation. I came back to the UK and then worked full time from then in 1996 and have been traveling around the world and working in the various different businesses since then.
And was it a given that you were passionate about wool because of your family history, or was there something in particular that made you actually fall in love with wool?
No, it definitely wasn't a given at all. In fact, there was no pressure at all for me to join the family business. So it was a matter of understanding or joining the business and trying to understand what the business did. And then over time, I guess for me, I came into the business and found it very traditional, and found the industry very traditional and quite backward looking. And what the thing that drives me now and continues to drive me and started back then was the drive to bring positive change and to make wool meaningful to the modern consumer. And that's been something that I've been following for all the time I've been in the industry. And even in, as we'll talk about a bit later on, I'm sure, I'm able in the various businesses that we have within our portfolio to influence how our businesses deliver that dream to the consumer today.
Yeah, and because you just mentioned that, so I think since you joined the company, you have created a lot of change, and maybe tell us a little bit about what the income streams for the H. Dawson business used to be and how they are today. What changed within your company?
So today, well, when I started the wool business, it was basically 100% wool trading and sourcing. And now we have four key streams to the business. One is a fundamental one, which is the sourcing trading of the raw material. And then we also have developed innovative wool components that are sold on a B2B2C basis. And at the same time, we also have now a carpet manufacturing business, Axminster Carpets, within our portfolio. And we have a retail business called The Wool Room, which is selling the best sleep in the world.
And how do you see those four streams? Are they now making, are they influencing each other and helping each other? Is that kind of what motivated you to start into these, you know, three additional streams? Or what was your motivation?
The key part within all of these businesses is wool is the common component throughout all of these businesses. Wool has so much to bring and so much to give in terms of its capabilities. And what I can't, these businesses do influence each other, and they do collaborate. They add value where they can add value to each other. So the common component is wool. The strength of the different businesses is the fact that they actually can depend on each other.
And because adding new income streams also brings a lot of change to a business, and we, I think, experience that all the time, that change is not always welcome, be it in the company itself or in the industry itself. How did you manage this change process?
The change is challenging, particularly also in an industry which has been around for thousands of years. So the route I've taken is to share the vision and to keep revisiting what you do and keep communicating internally and externally about how things can change and need to change for the better.
And are there any key learnings that you can maybe share with other entrepreneurs who might have to go through change, or also, you know, have a vision that they want to implement? What kind of key learnings did you?
I think they're similar to what I've just said there, mm-hmm. which is basically I think it's important to keep revisiting why you're doing what you're doing, and at the same time also keep communicating internally and externally.
And I love that you say communications. That's also very close to my heart. And that's also kind of why I started this podcast, because I also think any form of communications is important, that we get the key messages out there. So I can.
No, it's important. Very, very important. I don't think you underestimate the importance of communicating both internally and externally, and finding mechanisms where concerns can be shared, and at the same time, that the vision is also communicated externally.
Mm. And maybe another area that I find very interesting about you is that you are also very active in different organizations such as IWTO or the Campaign for Wool. Tell us a little bit why you are so engaged in these organizations. How is that important?
Well, I think we can't underestimate the fact that the wool industry is a small industry compared with, say, cotton or the manufacturing of polyester, if we're talking about textiles. So my view is that we need a rising tide will lift all boats. And so we need to create critical mass within the industry and make sure that we have a direction of travel which is valuable for us all, and engages not only the manufacturers within the middle and also the consumer, but also the farmer supplier in this whole process. And I genuinely believe we have in the industry an incredible network. If we were to engage all of the farmer suppliers around the world, and ask them all to talk on social media, they would have a very, very, very strong voice. So that's part of this, is to make sure that we're all talking with one voice, or a common voice, and we have a common purpose in the industry.
Hmm. And just a few episodes ago, we were talking to Peter Aykroyd, who talked about the Campaign for Wool in more detail, and it was just before the Dumfries House event was happening, and I think you have been to that event. Can you tell us a little bit about it, and what kind of key messages did you take away from the event?
It was a great event. It was to be able to interact with significant figures in the media, as well as also in the industry. It was a really very, very enjoyable event. I think the point I would take away most was that it was great to see what you would generally classify as outsiders from the industry talking to the industry, and also playing back to the industry how excited they are about the potential for wool, particularly with regard to the wool's eco-credentials. So these are significant ecological voices who are encouraging the people within the wool industry to do more of what they're doing. It was a great moment.
Mm. And talking of these eco credentials, have you over time had more demand from your customers for wool? Are they asking more questions in regard to the eco credentials?
I don't know that they're actually asking that. I think they're asking more questions about animal welfare, mm-hmm. Which is being driven by various events around the world, and also continuing concern by the consumer to make sure that the animals within any supply chain are looked after as well as possible, which, from my perspective, having grown up on a sheep farm, and having seen also how the animals are treated around the world, I'm delighted with what I see within the wool industry. And so with regard to the demand overall, yes, there are more and more questions being asked with regard to how the product is being grown. And to me, we have a great story to tell. And we are in a position to actually go out on the front foot and talk about that. And I'm sure that we can evolve that over time to make sure that it's in a clear and concise form that the consumer and the modern consumer can understand.
Mm. And I think that's also what the Dumfries House declaration that was signed at the event was also about, of reconfirming those credentials and how the industry does care for its animals and the environment.
Absolutely, and I think it's pretty obvious is that many farmers see themselves as custodians of the land. They see that they have to look after the land for not only their generation but also following generations, and particularly when you're involving animals in that whole, in that process. And so this is really about a commitment for the future, and also it makes good financial sense.
Mm, indeed. And another event that I wanted to ask you about is Brexit. And I thought it's a great opportunity to, because obviously your headquarters of the H. Dawson business is based in the UK. Tell us a little bit how you're experiencing the decision on Brexit and how you think it'll influence your business.
It's interesting. We have a global set of businesses, and the biggest single change with regard to Brexit, having understood full well that we actually haven't actually, the UK has not actually left Europe yet. And the big impact is obviously the low sterling. Sterling has fallen significantly. That's obviously very good for exports. I would say, though, for me, I'm still concerned about how divisive Brexit is and can be. And that's the worrying part of this. But again, that's the future which we can't see. So all we can do really is continue to collaborate and work well together around the world with various suppliers and our customers, and continue the global world of wool that we live in. Try to maintain a wool supply using a world where there aren't any tariff barriers we are inclusive rather than exclusive.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. Yeah, the wool industry is such a global business, and we are all very closely connected and very dependent on all these different
Agreed.
Trade agreements, as well as dollars and pounds and exchange rates, etc.
Agreed.
And can you also maybe give us a little bit of your, or share your vision on how you see the wool industry develop over the next 5 years?
Well, that's a good one. I think one area that I believe will become even more a point of focus will be the health and well-being aspects of wool, or the potential for wool to deliver better health and well-being. And if I can give a couple of examples from our own businesses, the wool room, we supply fabulous wool bedding, and so wool duvets, wool mattress protectors, and also wool beds, which deliver 25% more deep sleep. So with this, this also then delivers to the consumer a far better life balance and feeling better about themselves and encouraging their health. In the same way, you put a wool carpet on the floor and it will absorb all the nasty VOCs in the atmosphere, so it makes it a cleaner place to be, and also manage the humidity and local environment whilst being a safe place as well, because it obviously doesn't set on fire if you were to go and drop a match. Mm-hmm. To me, this is all about health and well-being, and it's about indoor air quality and how we as a population, and particularly the younger consumers, are starting to see this is something important to invest in, and they generally want to become the best version of themselves. And I believe firmly that wool can help the new consumer to do that.
And in order to move towards these kind of trends and developments, do you see anything that the industry needs to focus on or change in order to make or create a successful future for wool?
Yeah, I think a strong focus on innovation is essential. I believe that the industry needs to continue to innovate and to provide products to the consumer that are innovative and in a way that the modern consumer understands. Equally as well, I also think, talking about that modern consumer, I think communication to the younger generation is really, really important about the benefits of wool, why wool is potent, is special, and also talk about the provenance, where it comes from. As soon as you start to talk about where wool comes from and you were to compare that with where polyester comes from, then the modern consumer, the light bulbs start to go on and they realize that there's something more about this, that nature has provided us with an incredible fiber, so we should make the most of it.
And is it that you are investing into this kind of promotion through your engagement with the Campaign for Wool and IWTO? Is that one way of doing it, or is there what are other ways maybe for companies to also ensure that this will be happening in the future?
I think there are multiple ways. I think engaging with the Campaign for Wool is an essential move. I believe collaborating and working together with IWTO to make sure that the science behind wool is shared as widely as possible, that's another good way. At the same time, each individual company has got its own job to do its own level of communication. No company in this world now can survive without communicating with not only its customers, but also its customers' customers. So communication is really, really important outside to the wider world, and social media is a very useful vehicle for that.
Yes, and maybe that's how we can come to a close. How can people connect with H. Dawson and your other companies or businesses? Where's the best place to meet you?
You will obviously find us on social media, but the key websites I can give you are hdawson.co.uk is the core wool trading business. Thewoolroom.com if you want to find out more about Fabulous Sleep. Axminster-carpets.com is the website for Axminster Carpets, and some of the most wonderful carpets that you'll find in number 10 Downing Street in Windsor Castle, Buckingham Palace, and also some lovely residences around the world. Finally, hdwool.com, which is the site which talks more about our natural active garment insulation.
Okay, wonderful. We'll make sure to link to all those websites in our show notes so that people can connect very easily with you and your business. And thank you so much. I know you have to go to an important meeting today, so I'll let you go. And thanks for your time and your sharing your insights with us.
Thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk, and good luck with the next podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Joe Dawson. If you want to find out more about Joe and the H. Dawson business, look at the show notes by visiting elizabethvandelden.com/007. Once again, elizabethvandelden.com/007. If you liked today's episode, may I suggest that you subscribe to our podcast so that you don't miss any of our weekly episodes. Also, let us know what you think of the show by leaving a comment in the comment section underneath each podcast episode on the website. Maybe you have a particular question that you would like us to ask, or a suggestion for a guest for one of our upcoming episodes. Whatever it is, we would love to hear from you. Thank you, and see you next week.